那你就是有个嗯前面是几个这些的今天的嗯这个的军节的这些生前他们节哪里啊嗯天气摩登各天气摩登什么的今天的生前他们节那的几个的压力几个的是开门度车上的宿舍的天气摩登几个的生前大牛的今天的生前他们节电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的
电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电话的电that we cannot actually point to those that have been kinder to us and those who have been less kind to us. And in thinking in this way, we move away from this partial mind, the mind that is close to some and distant from others. So in this way we develop the first immeasurable, that of impartiality. And then we progress through the minds of love and compassion, generating the strong wish, may all sentient beings experience only happiness, may they be separated from suffering and its causes, and then we generate the wish to bring about such a state ourselves, and we make the commitment to attain Buddhahood for the sake of others so as to benefit them. And in this way we give rise to the motivation on bodhicitta, which is the should be the underlying motivation in all our activities. Now we're moving on. We'll look here at the accumulation of virtue and non-virtue and what factors influence whether the virtue or the non-virtue that is accumulated, whether it is powerful or whether it's weak.
Now that's exactly
Great good and evil deeds are five kinds. Determined by their consistency, their zeal, their lack of counteragent, their perfect fields. So strive in this respect to practice good.
Subulia, Seringa, Dang, Desen, Seringa, Subula, Wechawa, Dang, and the Nitone, and the Mijavi Chever, Rimbasumor, Nazan, Mason, that yaqabla masana sum chagore
de ye di malam kong ra teni goma ki no chote okay so, in the commentary that we're using from His Holiness, the first two lines of the previous verse are together with the next verse. So we're first going to look at what for us is the first two lines of verse 41, the last two lines of verse 41, will lead to fortune equal to the gods in Brahma, light, great virtue, or great fruit. So we're going to start there with the lines 3 and 4 of verse 41, and thereafter go to verse 42. So on this then, we spoke earlier about the four levels of concentration. So the first concentration, or the first, what we have here, samadhi, then this is divided into three levels, and these differ in terms of the length of life that the being in the form realm has, as well as the radiance from their body. Then, so that's what Kenneth just said now. Then I just need to correct something that I said this morning, a mistake I made this morning. So this morning I said, first one attains calm abiding, and then one strives for and attains the first concentration. So that was a mistake. When one attains calm abiding, one attains the first concentration. So the mind of calm abiding is the mind of the first concentration. So the practitioner would be in the desire realm, and would attain calm abiding, which is the first concentration. So they would have a body of a being in the desire realm, but they would have a mind of a being of the form realm. And then from that point, when they have the first concentration, then they'll be looking at the faults of this mind of the first concentration, and looking at the qualities of the mind of the second concentration, and strive for that, and so forth. So the mistake from this morning, that's now hopefully corrected, is that the attainment of calm abiding is the attainment of the first concentration.
Okay. Yes.
And then similarly, the second and third concentration, like the first concentration, has three levels, and then these are differentiated by the length of life of the being, as well as the light, the magnificence of the light that the being's body radiates.
That's something you were dealing with in year, Dinigi, Shiba, Napa, Dubu, Dimba, Jeva, Tisenga, Yoruba, Tisha, Papa Janjare, Papa Mado, Susuki, Yomare. There was something Shiba Dilla, Nitisen Mason, Tisen Kiore.
Then the fourth concentration, this has now eight levels. So the first three have three levels each, so making nine. Then the fourth concentration has eight levels. That would be 17 in total. So of these eight levels on the fourth concentration, the first three are similar to the others in that they are attained by ordinary beings. But the fourth to the eighth level of the fourth concentration, these are only attained by Arya beings.
So when
we hear about a being that is of the form realm, a form realm god, then they would be born into one of these four concentrations, and within these concentrations we've now heard of the 17 subdivisions. Three on the first concentration, three on the second, three on the third. Then the fourth has three which ordinary beings can achieve, and 5 that only Arya beings can achieve, making 17 in total.
Yeah. Now, Kamsum Nane Suta Sume Sadang as a debut come to the debut come Nadang as a good the milling with me. Me, Dindi, that Dindi, that Chirubialia, and Yamlin Chialia, Din Yashu, the race water. On the milling me, Dindi. Tis as the milling with me, Dindela, Chirubna, Chirjana, said Hilokoran, and Tapa the Tamjiki, you go on top to Yagi, that now in Yamlin Chiata, the Niggi, said Hilas, Sanji, you go on top to you.
Amongst the beings in the various realms, it's those of us, those who are in the desire realm, such as ourselves as human beings. The humans in the desire realm have the best physical basis for the practicing of Dharma, because it's only humans that can practice both Sutra and Tantra. Therefore, and to attain enlightenment itself, then Tantra has to be practiced. So whilst beings in the form realm can practice the Dharma, they cannot practice Tantra. Their body is not a suitable basis.
Mm. That you want ma, Tada, Umbra Shena, Nimbo me, Indian Tonam, Silly Jumil, Geta, Migue, Namma Chimbo de, Devi, Gavajola, Jola Temper, he said, Digos of Karashigo or Labna Dando, that Gava said, Migue was said, the gay, and then Shin Kokeo Haduki, Gava Sasaki, Bene, Migue was Sava in there, Migue was Sasaki, Yugi Chapa Yonki, and Migawa Cheyo, the Chumoyo Chaya, the Ningures, Gao Juba and Naya, Gao Jusa Yugi Wangi, Yugi Cabra Yoba, the Yu Cabra Dela Dine, Nikawa Chichum Cabra Yungures, or what?
So now we finish with the 41st verse, we come to the 42nd. So I've read that already, I won't read it again. Here we're going to now first start to talk about the object upon which virtue is achieved or non virtue is achieved. So depending on that object, the virtue can be of great strength or weak strength.
The first
term here that we're going to look at is that of constancy. So constancy impacts on the power of the virtue or non-virtue that's accumulated. So let's take an illustration of the mind that is wanting to kill. So if this is a thought that goes around in someone's mind again and again and again, they are constantly dominated by this wish to kill, then this is creating very powerful karma because of the strength of mind. And certainly if it's acted upon, then that karma is going to be much more powerful because of this thought having dominated the mind for so long. Then the second term that we have here is zeal. So this can be translated in different ways, so we'll stay with zeal for now, or earnest desire. So an act done in this way, this too will serve to magnify the karma. For example, in this act of killing, if it's done with earnest desire, perhaps the being wouldn't be killed immediately, and there'd be no efforts to kill the being painlessly. In fact, perhaps the being would be killed in a way that maximizes the pain, or tortured to death. So this, of course, then serves also to magnify the strength of the karma accumulated. So that's the second term, and that of zeal. And I know of where this is done in India, in the killing of pigs, because some butchers will kill the pig swiftly, and so the pig there will die without the suffering being maximized. So therefore, whilst it's of course a greatly negative deed, the amount of non-virtue accumulated is very different from butchers who purposefully kill the pig very slowly. They stab it many times, and its life ends in great agony and over quite a duration of time. So they kill the pig like this intentionally because the belief is the meat is more delicious. So killing an animal with so much, or killing a being with so much more suffering, and the suffering is then extended over a longer duration of time, this makes the act that much worse, and the non-virtue accumulated so much more powerful. These first two terms we've looked at here, constancy and zeal, or earnest desire, these then are connected to motivation. So the constancy, again, is the mind, the motivation in terms of preparation before the act is done. So if one has been thinking about the act and generating a strong intention over a considerable period of time, this part of the motivation will lead to a more powerful result. Then the second, that of earnest zeal or earnest desire, then whilst the act is being done, if the act is being done with great enjoyment and great satisfaction, then this too will strengthen the karmic outcome. So those are the first two terms. Then the third is that of lack of counteragent, or lack of antidote. So if there's an antidote or a counteragent missing, then this too will mean the result is stronger. So for example, if our clothing is dirty and we don't wash it, the clothes will just get dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. So similarly, if we don't have a counteragent or an antidote present, then too the karma accumulated will be that much more powerful. So in the past, where I'm from in North India, so it's a very poor area and they didn't have many things. So in winter, it's, of course, they're also very cold high up in the Himalayas, so no one washed their clothes. But the, being winter, the kids' noses would run, so they'd just wipe their nose on their sleeve, and their clothes wouldn't be washed. So yeah, so the sleeve would end up going black and hard from all. And so this would be like a lack of counteragents. Luckily though, today conditions have changed a bit, but that's how it used to be. And also back then, people almost never washed their whole bodies. It would probably, if a Rinpoche was coming to give an initiation, then the day before everyone would wash. But otherwise not. So most people would only wash their bodies once or twice a year. So likewise, if there's lack of absence of an opposing force, then a negativity will be that much more powerful. And the fourth one we're looking at, I've lost my verse, here we go. So perfect fields. So this then relates to beings who, so certain kinds of beings that if we commit acts towards certain kinds of beings, then the karma accumulated will be much more powerful. So such beings would be our spiritual friends, bodhisattvas, Buddhas, and kind-hearted people. So if we were to do harmful acts towards them, very powerful negative karma is accumulated. If we get angry at a bodhisattva, or angry at an ordinary being like ourselves, whilst from the side of the anger it may be the same, from the side of the object, due to the object being so different, the karma accumulated is vastly different. And this is because of bodhicitta being present in the continuum of the bodhisattva. So they have this motivation to be of greatest benefit to all sentient beings without exception. So this makes them really quite a special being. And to be angry at such a being, therefore, brings about a tremendously more powerful karmic result.
And Dinigi social ya kirin chimbu pando chimbu chetigen desul ya kono sawana ta social dinige pando majing en jawa mege michile kono sawale ndela kono sana dibachina diba diba chigres
dibaso den yen kono kena di yen yen son rimpanin ango again
di niga va
genika
niga choda yen den cho se ji xie za da di don la ne social pando xia ji urwa.
Then staying with the same term, there's a second division to it, so still with perfect fields. This time now it's relating to those, the field of benefit, those who have shown us great kindness. So here getting angry at such beings, such as our parents, our loved ones, our friends, our teacher, this would lead to tremendous non-virtue. So this is now a second division of this term perfect fields, where two, if we're angry the karma that we create in relation to these beings is so much more powerful than compared to ordinary beings. So these five kinds, it's important that we know them well. So just to recap, the first two were to do with the motivation. Constancy is or frequency or persistence is really about the duration of that of the duration that this motivating mind is present within us, and this of course impacts therefore on the strength of the motivation and therefore on the strength of the outcome. And then during the act, if what our mental attitude is like during the act is the second one, which we have here as a zeal. So then this is if we're taking enjoyment in what we're doing, or if we're amplifying the results of what we're doing. For example, if a being has been killed slowly, or the pain they will experience has been maximized. This too makes the ripening results, the karma accumulated, so much more powerful. And then we spoke about the third one, that if there's a lack of a counter agent or an opposing force, this will also, the 30 will make it more powerful. And then the object itself, whether it's those possessing qualities such as Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, our spiritual friend, or those who are from the field of benefits, who have shown us great kindness, such as our loved ones, our parents, or again our teacher. So if it's such an object, then too, the karma accumulated is so much more powerful. Now it's important to know this, because we accumulate non-virtuous karma unthinkingly often. Being aware of this, of these five, then hopefully if we engage in a negativity and we aware that this that due to the object or due to the motivation, it's going to be so much more powerful, then hopefully a mind of regret will arise, knowing that what we've done because of the person that we've harmed or because of our motivation, we are going to accumulate a very powerful negative deed. Then the mind of regret will come. And regret is particularly important, because regretting on its own will lead to weakening the karma accumulated, but it should also lead us to wanting to apply an antidote, which was this third point, the lack of counteragent. So if we've generated regret, we'll want to try and to purify or to lessen the negativity that we've accumulated. And so here we may recite some mani mantras, or meditate on emptiness or bodhicitta, so as to counteract the negativity that's been accumulated, to purify it as much as we can. So therefore it's important that we know these five, because it can lead us to generating regret timelessly. And sorry, with the rain, can you hear me at the back? Yeah, still okay?
Okay. Geda mige nam nga chimbo de se de jisa de ne ge jin de di ba che ni nga yong du wa nga la de di ba che nga din na xin ge wa ya ji ba le so da de ne ge wa de yang du ge ju che wa je ge sam de gu no ju ben da ma ne di che wo sen be ge xian le pen ba du ya sam na da nga du je wo sen be ge wi cho je ge gu no de be yun ju bu zin je che wo sen be xu chimbo le na ne ge wa ya ge wa ju ne ge wa de pan yuan che yong gu le yes And then, Gawamushi,
So that's why we've mainly spoken about these five kinds in relation to the accumulation of non-virtue. But as it says here, it also applies to the accumulation of virtues. So let's look at the first two, to do with the motivation. So if our mind is dominated by, for example, the wish to be of benefit to others, the wish to relate to others well, to be in harmony with others, if our mind is dominated by such a virtuous intention, then we will accumulate far more powerful virtue. And then the second part, that of zeal or earnest desire, when engaging in acts such as, for example, helping others or making offerings or meditating, if our mind is that much more intense, if our intention is that much more powerful, then too the karma that is being created will be much more powerful.
Mm.
The karma that we create in relation to beings possessing powerful qualities, such as Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So if we make offerings to them, or we have faith in them, or we offer some kind of help or service, then because of the power of their, the quality of their minds, due to that power, the virtue we create will be much more powerful. And similarly, then, with the field possessing qualities, the field of benefits, or those who have shown us kindness, such as our parents, our teachers, and our loved ones, if we relate to them with respect, and we will make offerings or offer service or help, then this too will accumulate a tremendous amount of virtue because of the power of the object. So it's important to keep this in mind. So if we look at, for example, this last division here, that people who have shown us a tremendous kindness, if, for example, we either harm them or we talk badly about them, then this will accumulate very powerful negative karma because of the kindness they've shown us. And then also, if we say talk badly about them, then others who could have had a good relationship with this kind-hearted, with this generous, with this loving person, end up having some aversion towards them because of how we have described them. So therefore, it's important that we keep these five in mind.
So what
we need to take away from this verse is that first of all, that when engaging in virtuous activities, engaging in spiritual activities, that it's important that we take good care of our motivation. So we've heard about two types of motivation, or two aspects to motivation. The first is the frequency, or the consistency. So how powerful it is in our mind, the length of time that we have, if it always dominates us or not. And the second then is related to whilst we are doing the act. So these we should try and keep in the direction of virtue, in the direction of being of benefit to others, because it has such a powerful impact on the strength of the karma that we accumulate.
Kunlong de la Chanju Sim Yukunya Lang, Denegi Jimbata Yukin Yamlin Chibi Kabla,
dine dela temba madu besan ta an dine ki dina shin jimba ma se chutim re ta so su ke lega kare re chewe ne
kon ke ne kon na to an cha ma che gong la dine
kon no cha ju sem ju kun la
dine je pe kabla
jibe kabla da jimba ta dine jibe kabla temba madu besan ta
dine ko so
jimba ta nga so su ne temba madu ba jimba ta ye je de temba madu ba re jimba ta su yu de temba madu ba re a sem bi ke sam ta ji dine ki Korsum de Mamaduva, some Tadu Jimbata, the new Jimbata, say, Jula Kawatia, and the new Kawatia, Semja Tam, that made Jimbata Kawatia, Semja Tam, Sanjo Kuan to Washo, Semja Tamjila, Diyo Washo, Diyo Chiduyi, and Semja Tamji Sanjo Kuan to be Yuku or Show, Semik, the Mowacha, the new Chabana, did Kawadi Shukimu, yes.
Konekana, Tanan Molochiki Kola Sundu, Dedu Tompeniki Kola Sumepe. And then just to read the fourth line here, so strive in this respect to practice good. So here, again, just to emphasize the need to generate a powerful motivation in the way that we've spoken about here. Because if this motivation is dominating one's mind, then it fulfills that first aspect, that of constancy. Let's say it's a motivation of bodhicitta, which we know to be the very best of motivations. And if this is fulfilling the criteria of constancy, this mind of bodhicitta is going to be ever-present within one. And then it will be much more likely when engaging in the act, this mind of bodhicitta will still be present, and we can engage in the act with the mind of earnest zeal. So in this way, we can ensure that the virtue that we accumulate is of particular strength. So for us as beginners, the way to do this is in the morning, or if we can again later in the day before engaging in some virtuous activities, to generate the motivation of bodhicitta. And then generating the motivation of bodhicitta, like has been mentioned before, we then follow this by reflecting on emptiness. And here in this reflection on emptiness, if we can do it beforehand, is excellent, and also certainly to try and have it present in our mind whilst engaging in the virtuous activity. So here we think about the emptiness of the person doing the activity, so we meditate on the self, and in the way we heard briefly this morning about does the I exist in the way that it appears? And then secondly, on the activity itself, so does that activity exist truly, or does this does it lack inherent existence? And then thirdly, the person to whom the activity is being done, do they exist truly, or do they lack true existence? So here, this is the meditation on the three spheres. So here we bring in the motivation of bodhicitta and emptiness together in our virtuous activity. And this can be done with all kinds of virtuous activities. So here we've now spoken about the motivation, we've spoken about the actual activity itself, to try and do this with an understanding of emptiness. And then the third part is the conclusion, the dedication. And there, amongst all the dedications, the best is that the merit is dedicated to the attainment of enlightenment by all sentient beings. So that's the way we should try and engage in all virtuous activities.
Then janju sem gomnare tonyo goma gechu tuyadi o dine chevaina dine yema tiba dia sha du res jina dine jina dine gi tiba ji sa ba ha gona lam sa ti ge ba ji de le nyembu de de ge chim bo res bol
as ordinary beings who are still overwhelmed and dominated by the afflicted minds, we engage in negative activities and certainly give rise and act under the influence of these afflicted minds spontaneously without trying at all. So it's important that we recognize this within ourselves, and then we try to be aware of the arisal of the afflictions. And when they arise, to immediately recognize them and to apply the antidotal power of restraint, seeing the faults of the affliction, or if we have acted under it, seeing the faults of the negative action, the harmful action that we've done, and commit to trying to restrain our mind, commit to trying to not engage in such activities again. So for example, if we've spoken badly about someone or we've spoken badly to someone, then recognizing that under the influence of the afflictions, we've now harmed someone. We've now accumulated negative karma that will not only bring about suffering for ourselves, but will hinder our spiritual progression. So seeing this, we will generate this mind of regret and commit to refraining from acting in this way again. And then we can engage in purification, such as generating minds of refuge, minds of bodhicitta, reflecting on emptiness or reciting mantra. And this way, we weaken the strength of the negativity that we've accumulated, and we try and continue to make effort in changing our behavior. So Genos, just read verse 43. A pinch of salt can give its salty taste to a little water, but not to the Ganges River. So know that, likewise, minor evil deeds can never change a mighty source of good. This verse then is about someone, for example, who generally has a virtuous mind and engages in virtuous activity, but sometimes they too will accumulate non-virtue. So what happens in this case? Or what about the opposite, someone who largely engages in negativities and occasionally engages in virtue? So what happens in this case? To explain this, the text gives the illustration of if one were to put a pinch of salt into some water, that water would become undrinkable. But if one were to put a pinch of salt into a large river, such as the Ganges River, then it will make no difference to the quality of the water at all.
Just now, that be the nation, gewa gewa ji gedi na ne gejo yang si du de ka san xie ba na xin ne ngo de ni me da ba gejo gejo le gang tu tu gedi na gewa jian yang gejo le xu qin bu du de gan ji bei na ane ane gewa ka bi le di ba ji sa ba yin ne ya di ba di ge xie ran de tu ma le ze ga zu chu chan yu yu di chu mo gang gang lu na ji ba le
Someone who engages in the day and night in accumulation of virtue and does so through having a virtuous mind, then when such a person occasionally accumulates non-virtue, that non-virtue will not be able to bring about any harm to such a person due to the vast store of merit on their continuum. So in other words, such a person is not going to be led to the lower realms despite having now accumulated non-virtue. And this is due to the strength of the large accumulation of virtue that they have previously accumulated.
Then the
opposite is also true. So someone who doesn't engage in the accumulation of virtue much, and their mind isn't specifically and continuously directed towards virtue, then even the accumulation of small non-virtues, minor non-virtues, will still bring about problems and difficulties and suffering in their life. And this is because of their habituation to negativities and that their familiarity with a virtuous way of thinking and virtuous behavior is so weak. So if we, hearing this now and thinking about our own individual situation, guard our mind against thinking, well, I'm actually quite a good person, as people go, I'm not so bad, and generally, you know, my mind's in a good direction, and largely I accumulate virtue. So therefore, the small negativities that I sometimes accumulate, well, these I can ignore. I don't need to do anything about them. This is definitely a mistaken way to think. Rather, all negativities, whether we consider them minor or not, we need to recognize them and apply the antidote, or generate regret and apply antidote. So we shouldn't sit back and think, oh, I'm probably okay. Rather, whether it's a minor or not a minor negativity, we need to regret. We need to turn away from such behavior and apply antidotes. So we've been this weekend hearing a lot about virtue and non-virtue, sometimes talking about virtue of great strength and sometimes minor strength. But what is this virtue and non-virtue that we're talking about?
제가
So let's think about so is our body, is it virtuous or not virtuous? This wooden table, is it virtuous or non-virtuous? The air around us, the trees outside, the rain that's falling, are these virtuous or non-virtuous? This thing can be divided into three: virtuous, non-virtuous, and immovable. So both virtue and non-virtue have two aspects each. Then if you check Sangye Sung Sung, Di Maje Di Je,
Di Je Na Gewar
Re,
Gewar Di Gewar Re Ta,
Di Nipa De, Di Rangsin Drapo Re,
Korong Jebu, Korong Nemi Ye Jebu, Dewa Chungwe Na, Gewa,
Gewa,
Gewa, Nemi Jebu, Dewa Chungwe Na, Da Je Le, Ne, Gewa La Go, Gewa, Korong Jebu Maho Ba Na, Then I said, Jimba Tangurwa, Jimba Tabi, Jimba Chicken Sabi, Samukunji, Nature, did he get what is? Digger, did he devote the Mahombana until the Devachim, devote Devachim Gore? The Koran, Sayegi, did you not get what is? Sida Sayegi did get what is, Suma, Chicche. That's Suma the Mazel Korong, Devu Delea Mahombana, Devu Devachim, do I honor to go, Devu Devachu Gore? Sida Denegi, Kitchen is Hana.
So let's talk about virtue. So the two aspects of virtue would be that the Buddha said that something is virtuous. So there'd be the quotations found in sutra that something is virtuous. Well, secondly, that the ripening result is one of happiness. So those are the two aspects of virtue. Then you conduct in the Tama de Jetan Lazo Suk Bang Shin La Sopa, the Gewade.
And then
this
one, the Gewade Lagume, I am not me. Tama Jugi, Trim Suana, Trim Suna Jimmy, send me some of the Sanji, Dijena, Gewade, the Gewade, Sunda.
So for example, if we generate the mind of ethical conduct, which is the mind of restraint, the mind that commits to not performing harmful actions, so this is virtuous. Why? Because the Buddha said so. That's the first aspect. Then the result that comes from this practice of ethical conduct is happiness. And that then is the second aspect. So this is the same with generosity and with patience, that they have these two aspects. One, the Buddha taught that this is a virtuous activity or a virtuous mind to generate. And secondly, the ripening result that comes from this is one of happiness. Similarly with non-virtuous activities, so for example, killing. So the Buddha said killing is non-virtuous, first aspect. Secondly, the result that comes from killing is suffering, and that's the second aspect. So the first aspect then would be called in reliance on what would it be? In reliance on scripture or in reliance on speech. So that would be the name given to the first aspect. Now we've heard then about know whether something is virtuous or not. It needs to fulfill, or virtuous or non-virtuous. So they both have these two characteristics, one being the Buddha described them as virtuous or non-virtuous, and two, the result that comes from that, whether it's happiness or suffering. If those two characteristics are not fulfilled, then it's not virtuous, it's not non-virtuous, it's a third type. And sorry, earlier I said this third type was called immovable, but it's not, it's called neutral. So the third type is called neutral. And so if those two characteristics that we've been hearing about are not fulfilled, then it is neutral. So if someone says water or wood, these kinds of things, are they virtuous or non-virtuous? Then we'd say they neither. They are natural. Neutral.
Mm.
Then we can apply these three to our mental activities, to our thought. So if we're thinking in a thinking about generating mind such as love, so this is a virtuous mind, and because it fulfills those two characteristics, and the Buddha said it's virtuous and it will bring a result of happiness, so then this is a virtuous karma. Whereas if our mind is in the direction of attachment, or we're thinking, you know, about it with attachment, then this is non-virtuous, because those two characteristics are fulfilled. Then the Buddha said this is non-virtuous, and the result that comes from this is one of suffering. And if our mind is in a different direction, so not in a virtuous or a non-virtuous direction, then that karma would be neutral karma.
Sanjigi, Dijena, Jimbadana, Kawari, and the Simjan soldiers in the Migawares, Sanjigi, Dijena, Kawarita, Kawarita, Sach Yorubada. Chisan Sanjigi, Kawari, Kawari, Sunjeva, and the Kawari Lagore. Sanjigi, Dijin, Migawari, Migawari, Migawari Lagore. And they did Sanjikurongi Karishi Red was
Karishi.
Oh, she
Karishi.
Kalabna.
Ah, Karine Labna.
And the Samsu Jimgurua.
So it's quite possible that we could have some doubt about what is virtuous or non-virtuous, because we have here as one of the characteristics that the Buddha said, this is virtuous, this is non-virtuous. So here we're thinking, we could end up thinking, hang on, I have no freedom in deciding what is virtuous or non-virtuous, what leads to happiness, what leads to suffering, because the Buddha has dictated what is and what is not. And so we may have some doubt about the validity or the accuracy of what he said, and we may be feeling a little bit caged in without any freedom over this. It's quite possible we may think, oh, he just made it up, it suits him. So it's quite possible this kind of thinking could arise.
Mm. 냠뇽 데 코롱게 심주지 코롱 냠뇽사 냠뇽 토네다 어 디진에 나지 디니스네 맨 디티오레 디니스네 맨 디티오레 디니스네 뉴히레 디니스네 뉴마 사지 코롱게 예와시시드 나즈딜레 이치시에 장조 장네 나가 장네 두시드엔 제마 라렌타여드 소소이 냠뇽원에 사용으로 어디데 오데 덴바르사 딱다르샤스 메 리그로와 베로티 담고 베디시
For example, in any walk of life, when we are reliant on a skilled professional, so someone that we know is well educated and they have researched their area of expertise well, then we know what they have to say is reliable and that we can take their advice and apply their advice. And then through doing so, we will then come to our own experience that this advice works. And this will serve to strengthen our trust in the advice of the skilled professional, and we will more readily apply further advice to the problem we're trying to solve. So this is very similar to how we should relate to this advice from the Buddha in terms of what is virtuous and what is non-virtuous.
Jimbata Sun Sumaina, Sosula Dikishunguabada. And the Sosugeda, Dibache, and the Janla, Dunche, Kohata, Dinish, Dibasavain, Jutele, Sosuli, Nigungo, Jesus Sosugi, Nambo Sanje, Dizunga, Dilipa, Isiche, D, Jesse, Dilan Yamioche, Majesse, the Majavashan, Dinage, and Yamiosa, Sayadu, or the Sanje said only Timbareshas and Begay, Monsugi, Dichina Kawa, Dichin, Mikawareshas and Begay, Monson Yamiosi Wurje, Hakotugura.
We should then apply the same technique to the Buddha Dharma. And so we in class, we're hearing what the Buddha is encouraging us to do and what the Buddha is advising us from not doing. And moreover, we're hearing the techniques so as to develop a particular way of thinking and how to turn away from another way of thinking. So we should hear this, think about it, and if it makes some sense to us, then apply it. And whilst applying it, keep our mind alert as to whether it's proving to be beneficial or not. So for example, we've heard teachings on the practice of patience. So we heard about the benefits of practicing patience, the faults of not doing so, and then how to practice patience itself. So if at the first step that we hear this and it makes a little bit of sense, then we should try and apply this. So we learn the benefits, we learn the faults, we learn how to do the practice, and then we do it repeatedly over a sustained period, and we see what happens. Do we have better relationships with others due to this? Are we experiencing greater happiness from this? And for most of these practices, in the short term, we can see some change. And likewise, this of course is the same for the opposite, where we are advised not to do things. So we're advised not to engage in advise against having disharmonious relationships with others, or being in abusive relationships with others, taking advantage of others. So if we hear about the faults of doing that, and this makes some sense, and we can see the faults of speaking behind someone's back or engaging in divisive speech, for example, then we should try and apply that advice and turn away from that behavior and see what comes about. Do we start to get on better with others? Do our friendships and close relationships grow and strengthen, and the problems in our lives lessen? And to see results come around like this, or as we start to experience the benefits of our practice, then our trust in the advice of the Buddha, our trust in the Dharma itself, will grow and strengthen, and our mind will be much more eager in wanting to receive new teachings and wanting to put the time and energy into cultivating those teachings.
Mm-hmm.
The Buddha, before he came to teach us the Dhamma, he cultivated all these various minds within him. He engaged in meditation over a prolonged period. And then when he had attained the fruition of his practice, he then taught us exactly how to achieve it ourselves. He taught us what is non-virtuous behavior and what is a virtuous way of thinking. And he taught us not only what these are in theory, but how to actually cultivate these minds within ourselves, how to achieve happiness, how to turn away from the causes of suffering and purify all those causes that we have already accumulated. So as we start to apply this, the more effort we put in to actually cultivate, or first to come to know these practices and then to cultivate them, we will then start to see a change in our way of thinking, a change in our way of interacting with others. And that's when we'll start to see the way they relate to us differently. And then we'll see how different our way of thinking is now from how it used to be. And having some experience in this way, this will serve to motivate us to want to receive more teachings and to want to put more time into our practice. And it'll be much easier to turn away from the myriad distractions which do take up our time currently. If we don't put energy in over a sustained period, then no change is going to come about. And we'd end up being like a patient who's ill, goes to the doctor, receives advice, receives a prescription, but does nothing and just goes on with their life. So rather, we need to try and cultivate these minds within us and see for ourselves whether these techniques work or not. So we'll stop here then for this weekend. So what we've looked at in these three sessions, if we were to summarize this in brief, we encourage here by Nagarjuna to put effort in day and night into the accumulation of virtue. And as we've heard, what will make an act virtuous or not is the motivation, And we've heard right now in this session about two aspects of the motivation. The strength that comes from having this motivation present in one's mind over a sustained period, as well as then the motivation present whilst doing the action. So this motivation, the best motivation to generate is one of love and compassion, and this mind in particular of bodhicitta. So as we say in each and every session, this is the mind that we need to cultivate each morning and generate the thought that once having given rise to bodhicitta, come to the point where you make the commitment that in every activity I do today, whomever I am with, wherever I am, I will strive not to harm others. And moreover, I will try to benefit others through my way of thinking, through my speech, and through my activities. I will only bring benefit into the lives of others. And then during the day, recall that motivation again and again to try and keep it fresh in our mind. Because due to our strong habituation to the afflicted minds, we will still continue to engage in non-virtue. And for example, if we speak inappropriately to someone, if we have been reminding ourselves of our motivation, we are much more likely to immediately be aware that what we have just said is inappropriate. And then we should apologize, generate regret, and then apologize, and then apply an antidote. Commit to not communicating in such a way again, etc. And then lastly, in the evening when we come to dedicate the virtue that we've accumulated that day, regenerate our motivation from earlier, and dedicate with an understanding of the emptiness of the three spheres, to all sentient beings attaining exalted enlightenment. So this is how we need to practice, and we need to make effort to bring this about. Make effort over a sustained period, and in this way, we'll see a change in our minds. Next time, I think in a couple of weeks, we start with the next verse, which is about five obscurations. So we'll look at what their function is, how they work, and as well as how to abandon them, how to overcome them. So if there's some questions, then please feel free to ask. Cameron.
Just when you were talking about virtue and non-virtue,
mm-hmm.
You're talking about looking at the speech of Buddha,
mm-hmm.
and there was one point there where you referred to reliance on the speech.
Okay.
Used the term reliance on the
speech. Oh, yes.
Reliance on the speech.
Yes.
Would there, the other part of it be reliance on the outcome or reliance on the result?
Okay, I can ask.
Use the expression reliance
yes.
on the result.
Okay, I can ask. So there are these two characteristics to the virtue and the non-virtue, and the first one is something like reliance on speech.
You use the
yes.
phrase reliance on speech.
Yeah, so then the second part, which was whether the result is one of happiness or suffering, I'll ask if there's a term for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was waiting for you to say
it. Sure, I'll check if what the term is. Okay. Dini Noma Kiran Kari. Lung Matimati. Lung Du Tempa. Lung Du Tempa Song Song. Dini Di Kietu Di Gewadam Mi Gewa Kietu Niyore. Dini Di Kietu Dampo. Lung Du Tempa Sekere. Kietu Nipa Dimi.
Gewa Ina Di Jebu. Jebu Dewa Chungwa.
Gewa Chungwa.
Dewa
Chungwa.
Gewa Ina. Gewa Ina Lung Du Tempa Che. Di Jebu.
So, arisal of happiness. The second division would be something like arisal of happiness. Dewa Jungwa, just the rise of happiness, and the first one will be something like reliance on speech. So again, as I've been quoting some verse, some text there. So if something is literally it's white karma, we normally just say virtuous karma. So if something is white karma, then this is because of the Buddha's speech. So this would be this reliance on speech, and from this arises happiness. So that's the second one. And if something is black karma, or again normally we say non-virtuous karma, if something is black karma, then this is because of the reliance on Buddha's speech, so in other words the Buddha said so, and then from this would be arisal of suffering or obscurations. Okay. Mm-hmm. Peter.
In the teaching last year and today, seem to relate to karma as it relates to a connection with a specific individual. So if my continuum has got a relationship to, we're speaking about people who are close now,
yes,
may have been an enemy in the previous life, and
yes,
a whole connection with them,
yes,
may play out as negative or positive. Also, last year we had some teachings seemed to imply something about people had karma to play out in this life,
okay,
specific karma, have they dealt with the things they need to deal with,
okay,
in this life. I wonder if the two are connected. Can it be that there's someone at a continuum where, say, the continuum of a teacher in a previous life has had a strong connection, say negative, say I was horrible in some way to this person. Can it be that it makes a difference if you then are virtuous towards that continuum?
That same person, life, yes.
Or is it just to be virtuous in general?
Okay, okay.
Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. So if, so I'll use names because it's just easier. So if the Peter of the past life and the Dorje of that past life, they didn't get on so well and they created negative karma. Now in this life they get on fine. So
is it important if you feel a strong connection to someone and you think you might have, for instance, had,
yeah,
a bad connection in the,
yeah,
past life, you know how sometimes we feel connected,
yeah,
to people,
yeah,
and we feel drawn to them,
yeah,
quite strongly, but never met them, but you feel drawn to have something to do with it. Can that be important
okay, okay, so then it's so maybe a bit different. So if you, for example, meet someone for the first time and you feel a strong connection towards them, you're drawn to them, then does this indicate that we probably have a past life connection and therefore we should, it's important that we try and ensure we have a virtuous relationship with them or we get on well with them, yeah, something like this. Yeah, or should we just with everyone kind of thing? Should we pay particular attention to that? Okay.
No, that's good.
Dene nato ngoma sempachik tema dampo tupdu. Dene tamtam kundang namdu jawa yapo yore rangsin kegi yore. Dene di kewa ngama ne repe. Dene kewa ngama kase pena kewa ngama nato jawa yapo yore. Chikisana drawa yema, chikisana jena nyempa. Dene kewa jema, kewa di nanglola. Yang kewa tema dampo tupna. Lamsang jawa yapo yore samgidu. Dene Nyongwa de yona, nyongwa de yona, dene aso kareche, konso dan naru kansokne, champo dan tumpo sergore, kareyansa, konso dan naru drawa yurpa samgidu. Yamene de kora samatang kurgi made, sui yina dan naru champo sergorepe.
Tina di ruada, me, tina daze sawa tu and the lamsa, gobu chaya dan, champu nyobu chaya di, Ninjawa Amegi, Tunyo Vigi, Dinigi, Koshuki, Dine, Yungurua, Yosiba Yungurua. That the Yungurua is another Chambu Jehovah. That the name Chambu Jehovah, that the night This
Medida namde yinsu minchu champo sugere karensa na so drawa yore. Yamele de kola samama samatan gurne.
Diro ada chi tewa so gurwa ina dagi dagi so gurwa ta ko chimju samsa de bene michi go go ta ya da sosul ya nyobe chi go sambe ne mi sam da na ge son pe chi go bu je do ga do ho da pe ya do ho re che che Go out and go to the house.
A few good points here to make. So first of all, if we meet a stranger, but we immediately feel like we have a connection with them, we get on with them. So this could well be because of a past life relationship. But in terms of whether we need to make an extra effort with such a person, well, the first point to make is we should try and have a harmonious relationship with everyone. So that should be clear. The second point to also be aware of is that this relationship, that this connection we feel with this person, it's could come from any number of bases. In the past life, we may have had a good relationship or not. So that's one thing. Two, this person may actually be a deceitful person and trying to cheat us. So they may relate to us in a very close and friendly and warm manner, but they have a nefarious motivation. So in India, I've encountered this many times, where if we're traveling at a train station, someone approaches us and is very helpful and really goes out the way to be of benefit to us. But then if we turn our back, all our things get stolen. So... whilst your question is true, we may well have a connection with this person, but we just need to get to know them. Okay, good. Well, thank you very much. Until next time.